Sandy's not in here today, I don't think, unless she slipped in. She's working in the nursery, and that may be good in some ways. I promised her I wouldn't make too many examples out of her. But actually, the best thing would be the fact of I have a number of movies that I like, small group, that I don't know if some people do. I will tend sometimes, no matter how many times I've seen a movie, if it's on, I'm going to flip over and watch a couple of minutes of it there. And Sandy will often, she doesn't, you know, criticize or anything. She'll just simply sit there a moment and she'll go, rerun. And the reason that maybe is good in doing this is, and when Derek called me this past week and asked me if I could bring a message for this Sunday, is after carefully considering, and of course Derek and I talked about this, and some of you know that a couple of months back, back in March actually, my brother's church up in Ottawa County, they're without a pastor, and they'd asked me to come and lead one morning. And as I thought about this, I felt led to kind of bring pretty much the similar message that I brought to them back in March, and felt it would be appropriate for us also at this time after prayer consideration. So Sandy would be back there, and she might or might not just go rerun because she had heard much of this before. But I did, again, I've looked at it, and again, hopefully that I've added some things and learned some things from this previously. So unless you happen to be at Bethesda Baptist in Independence, Alabama in March, hopefully this will be new. And again, I hope it will be encouraging to you in this way. When I prepared this message, as I said, it was back in March. It was actually in preparation for Palm Sunday, the week before Resurrection Sunday, Holy Day, Easter, in preparation. And traditionally, sermons on Palm Sunday quite often are going to be based upon the triumphal entry. They're going to be based upon those, again, who called out to Christ and, again, who declared their praises and hosannas and shouted to him in those days, and who many times are the same ones, only days later, the same ones that were calling upon him to be crucified. And oftentimes when that's brought, it's the purpose of that is the fact that their worship, and it was a form of worship that the crowd was doing when Christ came in, but it was an empty worship. It was a hollow worship. It was a spiritless worship. And the primary reason it was is because it was not focused upon God or the things of God. It was focused upon themselves. The people who praised Jesus as he came in the triumphal entry at that time, days before, were many of them were looking for what they thought he could do for them. They were looking for what I'm going to benefit out of this. We're going to restore the greatness of Israel. We're going to restore our people. We're going to overthrow the Romans and all these things. And much of that worship was self-centered. And again, because God had not fully revealed everything of his work through Jesus Christ at that time. But even though he has done so, if we're not careful in our lives, many times that you know we can have kind of a self-centered worship. We can kind of look at worship as a, you know, what am I going to get out of it? And if I don't get something out of it, I'll start forsaking it. I'll start avoiding it. And it's real easy to fall out of worship. It's real easy to fall into the ways of the world and say, this isn't something that's very important because it's not encouraging me or nurturing me. And that's kind of self-centered in that way. Those worshipers were not focused upon pleasing God, but upon what they wanted and what they expected. And it's kind of that as a starting point. I'm not going to go from that passage. Actually, as I've often do, and hopefully I won't lose my place too often, I've got a number of passages that I want to look at today. But I want us to take the next couple of minutes, again, just to talk about worship. And more specifically, the importance of worshiping together. Why is it important? Why should we gather together at these times that we have on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, or whenever we have the opportunity to gather together? Why is corporate worship important and congregational worship? And so I'm going to talk about that within the context of the importance of worship in building up Christ's church, of which we are a part of. Because there's a lot of things that are available to us. But Scripture teaches us a number of things, and I want to just go over a few things about why corporate worship, worshiping together as a body, congregational worship is important and something we should not neglect, something that needs to be an important part of our lives and our growth. And in preparing this, and I want to give credit, I drew from a couple of devotional articles by a couple of worship authors named Bob Coughlin and Jonathan Lehman, who I had several articles that I read in several devotional journals that talked about, you know, the importance of corporate worship and the various things that we get from that. So again, I want to credit them as a starting point that I use, and again, taking some of these thoughts and going from that. Again, I have a couple of primary passages of Scripture, and I'll also be jumping about with some others. First is Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122, as some of you know, if you see, it's a Psalm of David. It's also referred to, depending on your translation, it may be referred to as a Psalm of Degrees or a Psalm of Ascents. Psalm 122 is one of the Psalms, the various Psalms, that when the people of Israel were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the three great feast and worship times as they approached, and that's why it's referred to, as they approached and rose and ascended to Jerusalem, they cried out these various psalms of praise, and Psalm 122, verse 1 is one very familiar. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do we have that same kind of joy when we are given the opportunity, that sense of awe, that sense of anticipation, when we are preparing for worship? Second passage from Hebrews 10, and we'll actually look in some detail at this, but right now, verses 24 and 25, the writer of Hebrews, if you recall, is bringing the declaration of the superiority of Christ in all things. He's talking to those who are considering going back to their former ways, and he starts making these comparisons. And he's making the comparison of Jesus as a great high priest, and also of the fact of worshiping together and the things that God has done through the great sacrifice of Christ. But among those things, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together as some have become the habit, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The third primary passage, very familiar passage from those days of the early church, as a matter of fact, in response to that great sermon, to the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and Peter preaching, what occurred on that day, and again, that description of the early church we often refer to as that description of a New Testament, of an Acts church, in Acts 2. It says, those who had received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So, with those passages, my question for all of us, for us to consider in our lives, is why gather together to worship? Why worship together? I can do all kinds of things. I mean, I have all kinds of things available to me. I've got television ministries. I've got internet ministries. I've got radio ministries. I can sit alone and worship. I don't need to gather together with other people and worship. I'm perfectly fine. There's all kinds of opportunities. It's difficult for me. It's inconvenient for me to try to come together in any kind of regular worship time. Or, you know, you might even have other things. I feel a lot better. I don't have to worry about those other folks and whatever difficulties you may have. I'm just going to worship God on my own. Well, there are perfectly good opportunities for a private worship. But there is an important, and several important reasons that we do gather together to worship as a congregation, as a corporate body. And I just want to consider a few of those to begin with. The first is out of obedience. A primary and the first reason, the reason we worship is to honor God, is to obey God, is to respond properly to Him. If we have responded to Him in salvation, we need to also respond to Him properly in His call to gather together with His people and worship together. So the primary reason is that God has said for us to do so in His Word. God has said, be obedient. The passage that I just read again from Hebrews, Hebrews 10. Now, what does the writer say? Do not forsake. That is a command saying, don't just drop it. This is important. Gather together for the purpose of what? Of encouraging each other. Of strengthening each other. Of honoring God. So he commands us to do so in that passage. That we honor him by an appropriate response to him. Again, in the same way, that first church in Acts. It says they gathered together, they fellowship, they looked at His Word, they studied His Word, they listened to the apostles' teaching, they did various things that were those acts of worship. Paul writes to Timothy, and he's giving in that great instruction to that young pastor, as he's talking about the important things he's to do. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul says, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. there's the right time, you know, for private worship and private teaching, but there's an instruction for us to gather together and to do these things. And maybe an important reason, possibly the most important, is this is a direct response to what Jesus said. Recall, what did Jesus tell us about gathering together as believers in Matthew 18, a passage we're all familiar with? He says, two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Now, he certainly will come to us when we're worshiping individually, but there's a particular promise here. He says, when you come together, and again, whether it's a group and whatever, in Bible study, but in worship also, he says a special promise that when we're together, we will get special blessings. And there are some reasons. We're going to talk about those. So out of obedience, we should respond and we should gather together and not forsake the assembling together, again, to honor him and to praise him. And among the things that he gets from that is the opportunity to receive and to use God's gifts. Because if we believe in spiritual gifts, we know that spiritual gifts were given for what reason? Not for me, for his church. And if I'm not gathering together with his people, what am I doing? I'm not edifying. I'm not building up. But in the same way, when we're not here, someone is not getting whatever we have as a spiritual gift. And we're missing the opportunity to receive and use those gifts, to receive the use of others' gifts, to use ours. And again, whether it's, you know, that we're told that we're spiritually gifted for the purpose of building up the church, and all are needed. If we can say, look, I can get by, nobody really needs me. You know, Paul writes, and that was one of the problems that maybe was happening in the church at Corinth, because Paul wrote to them, critiquing them and saying various things, because he said very clearly to them in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, he says, there are many members, one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Again, the head to the feet, I have no need for you. If we're not all involved, if we're not joining together in whatever place Christ has brought us as a body of believers, then something is missing. We're missing, you're missing. So, you know, when we are not taking the opportunity, again, there is something missing in what can be building up this body of believers. So we get that great opportunity to do so. God has given us so many great gifts. So he is spiritually gifted. He's also given talents. And to use the opportunity to worship in that way. But among the gifts he gave us after salvation, he gave us his church. That's what Acts is about. It's that gathering together of believers. And then in some form, and whether it be in a small group, whether it be in a house and whatever, we should gather together as believers and worship him. One of his gifts is his church. He also gives us gifted workers. He gives us evangelists. He gives us preachers. He gives us teachers. And that way we can hear God's voice. But he also gave us ministering gifts. Those who have mercy, those again who act, those who administration. We see God in action in many of those ways. And if somebody is not joining together, we're lacking something. We're missing something. It may be the eye, the hand, the foot, whatever, but when we're not joining together, when we do neglect to come together to worship, God's church, God's people are not being built up in that way. And we're missing the opportunity to see God's voice and to see God in action. Again, as I mentioned, talents. We're blessed today with musical talent, you know, with singing, with praising, you know, with leading. And we give the opportunity for those, you know, who can inspire us. You know, as young people come along and again, use their gifts and do various things. But again, we also get the opportunity for those who, you know, have been involved in years, you know, that's that kind of give and take too. If we're missing, somebody's missing something. And whether it be the experience that comes from maturing, and whether it be from having the opportunity to step out and to express your faith in new ways, this is what God has given us, and if we don't gather together, we miss that. And we're not encouraged, and we may not be encouraging others. We miss the opportunity again to receive and to use God's gifts. We must participate in this to experience that of others, and we must execute our gifts for others to experience ours. And again, that's kind of a key thing. When we decide, I'm going to go on my own, I'm not going to be in worship, I'm not going to be a part of whatever, then something is missing in us, and we've taken something from someone else. So let us use that opportunity by obeying God, and again, to receive and to use those great gifts that He has given us. A third reason, when we worship together, when we truly seek Him in spirit and in truth, we see a live illustration of God's Word. Now, we can see God's Word, we can see it expressed, but when we actually see it here, when we gather together to worship, when we honor Him, we see the various things that God has shown us, and we learn from that. We see His Word illustrated in action and in attitude if we truly worship Him in the right way. One of the things, we learn to pray. You know, prayer is a difficult thing for a lot of people, particularly public prayer. But when we get the opportunity to hear from saints who have done that for some years, we can learn how to pray even better. Many times, we've had some great prayer warriors in this congregation over the years, and much of that I've learned from many people that show me that how I can pray, how to be more personal in my prayer. So by coming together and worshiping together, hopefully we also get that blessing as well. We see praise and prayer for God illustrated in that way. We also get the opportunity in prayer to join and to align our hearts to God's. If we don't feel comfortable in our own prayer life, and of course the Scripture tells us that one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to help us pray, but when we join together here, if we're having difficulty praying for whatever reason, when someone steps up and someone has offered a godly prayer and we join in, we're blessed in that way too. And if we weren't here, we would miss that. Singing is a great gift of God, and I mentioned this several times, because it allows us the opportunity to align our hearts together in praise. And again, we've had several opportunities this morning, because we praise God joyfully. And if we joined in, one of the writers made a good point. He says, as he talked about, he likes singing. That's fine. You sing alone, sing in the shower, whatever. And again, we can praise God individually, but when you sing alone, you only bless yourself. Many times, when we gather to sing as a congregation, we bless each other, and hopefully, primarily, we bless God and praise God. And it also gives, I'll mention this again, Sandy will admit this too. Sandy loves to sing. Well, I'll just leave it at that. But when we're here together, no matter what your voice is, because we've got so many gifted people, when we gather our hearts together, and again, of course, the key thing is praising God. And we can belt it out when we're together, and then we bless each other because we've all come together and praised God in that way. If we weren't here, we wouldn't get that opportunity. We wouldn't have that chance to join together, to align our hearts to God and offer up great praises to Him. And that's one of the things that we are commanded to do. We're commanded to do those various things and to worship Him in that way, to use those talents in so many ways. In Colossians 3, Paul writes, and to those believers at that place, Colossians 3, when he talks about what we're to do, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. That's what we're doing here. We're gathering together. We're hearing His word. We're joining our hearts. We're teaching each other. Again, I appreciate Chris, too, and talk about music, and because the Word, can be taught in so many ways. And one of the ways that many times the Word is taught is through music, is through song, is through appropriate praise, is through singing Scripture in so many ways. So with all these various things, again, we are to join together, to encourage each other in that way. So when we do sing alone, we may bless ourselves, but we gather together as a group, and we're given God's grace to all of us in that way. Within a church, we're given the opportunity with a congregation as we gather together worship. When we have the fellowship time, we're given that great opportunity to see godly friendship illustrated live. We see that Scripture tells us these various things, but when we're here and we're here in the right attitude, we see it expressed. We see it illustrated. John 13. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, to love one another. Even as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. When we gather together as a congregation, we express that. And if there are those who are not a part of this body, hopefully we're giving that live illustration of what Christ taught us here. By expressing our concern for each other. By coming in this way together again. By showing godly friendship. By gathering together as a corporate body to worship Him, we show the unity in the gospel. We demonstrate it. If we're just scattered out, you know, the rest of the world doesn't see us being unified. But by gathering together on a regular basis, we show that. And what's important about that is not only the example we've given, but also encouraging us in our Christian walk. Because if you spend too much time, I'm fine worshiping on my own, I'm fine being out here, you're just a brick out there by yourself far too often. We need to realize we're part of something far bigger. We're part of something that God has brought about. And so by gathering together, it reminds us and encourages us during the days that we return to the world that we're not just a random brick, but we're part of a great temple, a great spiritual temple that's being built up. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 19, he says, "You are no longer strangers, you're no longer aliens, but you're a fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." If we forsake the assembling together, we're just a brick. We're kind of out there. Paul says, no, we're part of something far greater that's being built by God. That's the purpose of edification, of building up. Christ is a cornerstone. We have that foundation with the teaching of the apostles. We have the early ministry. But he basically is saying each of us is being built and we're each fitted together. If we're out there on our own, we're not joining together. We're not allowing ourselves to be a part of that plan the way it should be worked out. When we gather together, we see a live illustration of the Word as we did last Sunday when we had the opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper. And that is that great illustration. If we miss that opportunity as well, we again, that's one of the great examples of the work of salvation being demonstrated. Because we're reminded of the cross. We're reminded of the empty tomb, the resurrection. We're also reminded of the ascension, that promise He will come again. We see the sacrifice, but we also see the victory. And we see that great promise that He is bringing something about. And until He comes again, we meet together, we worship Him, we're given the opportunity, we partake in the Lord's Supper, and we honor Him in that way. We see a live illustration of God's Word by worshiping together. And if we do these things, and we gather together and we worship Him, He has called upon us to do, in spirit and in truth, hopefully by gathering together, we will see a manifestation of God's presence in our lives. We will see God revealed. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, he says, again talking about spiritual gifts, "As each has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. And whoever serves, let him do so in the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Peter's writing there. He says, when we use these things together, we use our gifts, we gather together, make sure you're doing it in Christ's strength, make sure you're doing it in Christ giving you this. And he says, and the purpose is to show the manifold grace of God and to show Jesus revealed and the grace of God revealed and made manifest, made clear. If we don't worship together, if we don't take the opportunity to build up, to encourage each other, we may miss that opportunity for God's grace to be made apparent, not only to us, but to the world around us. And finally, as to various reasons, we can look at why we gather together as a foretaste of heaven. This is practice. When we gather together, because if we are saved and we believe, and when God brings about all things, we're not going to be able to just say, well, I'm going to stay out here by myself. We're going to be gathered together to worship God. And there are some great examples within Scripture. There are several visions of Scripture that show the great worship of God by the spiritual beings. You know, we're familiar with a passage in Revelation 4 where John got that vision of the elders and living creatures. In Revelation 4, beginning of verse 8, he says, "The four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around within, and day and night do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and is to come.' And the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever, will cast down their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will they existed and were created.'" Isaiah got a great vision when he was called, that we're familiar with. Isaiah says in chapter 6, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of His robe filling the temple, and the seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, with two He flew, and one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" Well, this is a great vision of spiritual beings, but in God's grace, we're allowed to be a part of that. When we come here, we join together with those spiritual beings, with the seraphim. And again, we look at that time in the future that we will be allowed to do that. Why? Because of God's grace. God has said in the same way that the spiritual beings worship Him, we worship Him. And that's what we'll be doing. And again, that's a foretaste of heaven if we truly focus upon Him. God's grace allows us to be a part of that great act of worship. We join in with all of those who worship Him. The passage I read earlier, the primary passage from Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19, I'm going to back up a little bit on this, because here the writer of Hebrews is talking about the reason that we don't neglect to worship. And he says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. Since we know we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The writer of Hebrews again is saying, this is something special. God has allowed us. You recall that the vision that John had, even more so Isaiah. What was Isaiah's response at that time? It's, "Woe is me," because God has now said, "Look, you're special. You come to me boldly. You can do so." The writer of Hebrews, a couple of chapters later, in chapter 12, talks about that a little bit further when he's talking about the importance of coming together. Chapter 12, Hebrews verse 18. It says, "You have not come to a mountain that may be touched, into a blazing fire, to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, to the blast of trumpet, the sound of words which sound was such that those who heard begged no further word should be spoken. They could not bear the command. So terrible was the sight that Moses says, 'I am full of fear and trembling.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant." The writer of Hebrews there is talking about the passage in Exodus 18 and 19 when God called Israel to Mount Sinai. Recall what He said to them, "Make yourself worthy, make yourself holy, do not touch that mountain." And in the response that people had because of what they saw, the power of recall, Moses says, "I'm fear and trembling." The people said, "We don't want to talk. We don't want to hear. We'll listen to you. We'll listen to you, Moses. You go take care of this." What the writer of Hebrews is saying is, because of the work of Jesus Christ, we're allowed to come before Him. Now, we need to do it right, but He says, "Come before us. Come before me boldly." You don't have to fear in that way that Israel did, because by my grace and mercy, when we're given something that great, should we ignore it? When God has said, "Come to me boldly through the blood of Jesus, through the mediator, this is a great blessing for you." And again, we see that foretaste of heaven. So when God has said to us, "Join together, receive my gifts, use my gifts, worship me, honor me, worship together, worship with each other, and worship and join the spiritual beings In the same way, we can come and proclaim, holy, holy, holy. But we do so as a body of believers, again, for the purpose of encouraging. Because we're part of that great plan of God where He is using us as a small brick. But when we open ourselves to this through worship, that's part of coming together and doing those things, part of His plan as He puts it all together. When He says this, should we not take that opportunity? So let us gather together. Let us not forsake the assembly together. Let us learn to listen. Let us obey God. Let us participate. Let us use our spiritual gifts. Let us use our talents that we have. Let us use whatever we have that God has given us to encourage one another, to be together and to do these things, to receive the gifts and talents of others and to use our own to encourage and be encouraged in times of prayer, to hear His voice, to hear His word, to see His word demonstrated, to see His work, to see His face. Let us learn to thank God for His word, for His church, for His gifts of preaching and teaching and ministry and works and health and prayer and song, for all these great remarkable gifts that He has given us, and for His wondrous grace that He expressed to us through the salvation work of Jesus Christ. You know, in our lives, and we'll close with this as Chris comes forward, you know, this is always in many of times when I've led, it's directed more to those of us who are believers. It's for our growth, but let me just always say that I'll encourage anyone, and I know most folks here, I know what our situation is, but if anyone has not come, and first of all, claim that great relationship with Jesus Christ, our reconciliation with God, I would encourage you to do so. And if we have done so, let us all evaluate our lives and see, do we need to renew our commitment to Him, to worship, to prayer, to being His people, in whatever circumstances He has provided for us. So again, with that, let us not forsake the assembling with believers. We are of His household. We are the family of Christ. And let us, ultimately, back to that first passage, let us always look forward to worship together with awe and anticipation and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just pray that we will seek Your face. We will be obedient to You, that we will not forsake the worshiping together. Father, I pray that in our lives that we will learn to be more Your people, to rely more upon You, to use our gifts and to experience the gifts of others, to use our talents, and Father, to be Your work visible, to be Your word shown and illustrated in our lives. And Father, I pray that we will take the opportunity to look for Your word to be made manifest. And Father, we will take the opportunity to join together with all of the created beings, all who come to You, but also joining You, because You have said through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that we may worship You and come before You boldly. Let us do those things. Father, I just pray in the coming days, I lift each one up to You now. Ask Your blessings upon each life here. Ask Your encouragement upon each life here. And again, pray that everything we do at this place and this congregation is done for no purpose other than to glorify Your name and to declare the precious word of salvation through Jesus Christ our Savior. In His name I pray. Amen.